And the 3 days will be analyzed for Clocker Report purposes by Mike Welch and the team. Welch sitting next to me. Good morning.
Good morning.
The biggest question is, what have the Clockers had to say about Pribman's work at King Umberto's?
I have not actually joined him there yet. Grenning and I beat him to the punch over the weekend, and then I had other things to do on the Privman visits, but we may be making a quick run over there in a little while, so that's to be determined later.
It's been a lot of B's and B pluses. We're still looking for that A minus work.
Well, Privman and Umberto, they're close to A minus all the time, or even A's. He's a big guy there. Last year on Belmont night, both of you had an item named for you on the menu. That's an A right there.
Well, this year, since you bring that up, I put in a request. And for those of you that are going to be at King Umberto's over Belmont weekend, there's going to be a big item. It's pork brajol, which you're not going to get too often. And it's tough enough to get a good beef brajol, but I love when a pork tenderloin is the center of the dish. And unbelievable. Rosario and Chiro and the boys, they are going to do a pork brajol. So look for it on the menu.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what they do with the Pribman special. It should be ham on rye.
But bump. Let's talk a little about the principals. And we're still waiting, of course, from the Kentucky players that are en route at this hour. Marty McGee basically escorting them. Marty was the escort vehicle over to Standiford and waiting on the Kentucky arrivals. But otherwise, Mike, let's run down the ones you've been watching on a regular basis. We talked about them last week.
Yeah, you know, that's the strange part about this year's Belmont. I mean, only 4 of the 10 have been here. And it's kind of a happening when those 4 went to the racetrack to work. And we had those happenings twice each the last weekend, or over the last 2 weekends. You know, the Todd horses, I've liked what I've seen from Vino Rosso and Noble Indy. They went in company together one day. You know, I think I said Noble Indy might have been a little bit better even, but not by a lot. But for Noble Indy, I thought that was terrific. It was with the blinkers off. They both worked in separate sets in a driving rain, pretty much. By the time Vino came out second, it certainly was. But the track was deteriorating rapidly over in the training track. And they were both very purposeful works. They're almost like Bob Baffert-like works, where they went 5/8 and then were asked to go another quarter. You see Bob do that all the time. You don't see Todd do that
a
lot.
No, you don't see
Pletcher. But he did it for this. And look, you know, aside from Woody Stevens, nobody's had a better record in the Belmont pretty much than Todd. So you have to respect what he does and the success he's had. So both these horses, I think, are coming into the race, you know, in great order. And if there were no Justify in here, you know, they would be under huge consideration. But with Justify and then all the steam around Hofburg, both these horses could get lost in the shuffle a little bit, especially from a Parimutuel standpoint. So, again, the strategy with Noble Indy and Justify, that'll be interesting, too, because they sort of share a partial common ownership. But Noble Indy, you know, watching him work with Vino Rosso, they both went 47, but we know Noble Indy has the running style where he likes to be close up, except in the Derby that didn't happen. But they are taking the blinkers off him today, on Saturday, and he did work quite well with him. Now, his work, the longer work was with blinkers back on, but the blinkers will be off. So we'll see. That's those two. Gronkowski, both his works here were fine. He worked with the Woody Stevens entrant Engage, who's a multiple, you know, sprint stakes winner. And it's almost intriguing to me that he managed, you know, he matched strides with him going a half and 47 and change, doing it easily. He's stretching out off nothing longer than mile races. I think he could show some speed, too. But they are he will run in blinkers that he wore in his last 4 starts. He did not work in blinkers either time, which I found a little curious. But he did have blinkers back on when he galloped this morning. So that's Gronkowski. And then Blended Citizen, I thought his first work here was terrific. It was just a maintenance half mile, but he looked super doing it.
Right.
The other day, he went 5/8 of a mile. We had heard he was going a mile.
Yeah, I talked about this with Zoe and Mig yesterday. Did you get anything from Doug about this?
I haven't talked to Doug. I talked to somebody else who thinks that, you know, that maybe they did at the last minute change back, that this wasn't an error or anything like that, that at the last minute they decided, unbeknownst to the press, that to do exactly what they did. I'm not sure. I haven't, you know, tracked all of that. Whatever it was, I just didn't like the way he was going quite as much as I liked the time before. It was fine. And, you know, we know he likes this racetrack. He gets over it well. To me, he moves more like a turf horse than a dirt horse. But obviously his race in the Peter Pan was big. But I just don't know if he's good enough, you know, to compete at this level. And with his running style, you know, if there's not a lot of pace up in front and Justify gets loose on the lead, that's not going to help his chances either. But, again, I gave him good marks for the first work here, not quite as good for the last one. But that's, you know, a quick synopsis of the four I've seen work here. Now, I have seen on tape, Justify's look absolutely terrific. You know, you were kind of – maybe if you were against him, you were hanging your hat on the fact that he might not come out of that Preakness, you know, a hard race like that and doing so well. But from what – you know, the looks of his two works, I mean, he seems fine that he's come out of the race with great energy and galloped out terrific the other day, maintenance work, and it was as good as a maintenance work could be. It wasn't American Pharoah before his, you know, I mean, that was just, I gave that a wow and an A, but it was good. It was good. Bob Baffert obviously has his horse still, you know, doing well. Bravazo, his mile work that I saw was just okay, and he's looked just okay this morning when I saw him here. I don't see a lot of him gallop, so I can't really draw that much of a conclusion. Hofberg, seen the last two mornings, not with the same energy level galloping here in the morning as he had at Churchill when he was absolutely pulling the rider out of the saddle in the morning. I don't know if to interpret that as a good sign or a bad sign. I mean, you're coming into a mile-and-a-half race. You want to see him a little more relaxed in the morning. So.
Sure.
You could take that as a good sign, or you could say, well, maybe he's not as sharp as he was going into the Derby when he had a bit of a troubled trip. His work looked terrific the other day, working with Good Samaritan. So the thing is with this horse, he's just going to be over bad. He's just so hyped. He's just so talked about. You know, a horse like this, an A other than, that still eligible for an A other than, his race in the Derby, six horses beat him in the Derby. He's going to be 4-1 or 9-2.
We just talked with Paul Matisse about this.
Against Justify. I mean, you just can't accept that price. Even if you think that he's the one horse that could beat Justify, you just, as a better looking for, you know, optimum value for your money, you just can't accept 4-1. But I can see where people like him, and he's hard to leave off the ticket, obviously. Restoring Hope worked well the other day. This horse always works well. I think he's a little overmatched. Tenfold. Looks like he's doing well. He was very keen early in his work the other day. I don't know if that's a good sign or a bad sign either. You know, he's got to go a mile and a half. And like Hofberg, you know, he's only had four starts as well, relatively inexperienced. He does seem to be improving with every race. So I can see why, you know, people can get on that bandwagon with Tenfold. But he's going to have to relax early on Saturday, a little bit better than he relaxed early on in that last work I saw on tape the other day.
Mike, are you guys turned in picks?
Yes, we have.
You have turned
we
in.
We have, yeah. I actually have just, I'm going upstairs to do mine now. I wanted to watch the horses train this morning before I finalize mine. So everyone else has. I tried to ask Jay who we picked. He wouldn't tell me till I finished with mine, so I don't know. I don't even have a clue who he's picking. I have kind of a clue Dave might have been leaning toward. I'm pretty sure who Mike Watchmaker is picking, but hey, look, well, everyone's going to have a...
Well, Watchmaker's going against Justify because it's 30 seconds after the Preakness, he declared that Justify couldn't possibly win.
And, you know, I don't agree with that. I disagree with that theory, and I'm still holding a little bit to that theory myself, other than what he's shown
exactly
coming out of it, doesn't indicate that. But from a gambler's perspective and a value perspective, I mean, he's 4-5 in the morning line. I think he'll be closer to 2 or 3-5. You just can't accept that with the question marks regarding, you know, how much that race took out of him, how much having six, you know, this being his sixth race since February might take out of him, the unknown factor of the mile and a half, the inside post, the pace scenario. I mean, if he's forced to run a little bit early, going a mile and a half with all that going in there, it would make him vulnerable. It's not like he's running away, you know, killing these horses.
No.
Or I mean, look, he did win the Derby fairly easily. But it was a slow final quarter mile. You know, the track obviously was a factor in that, but and the pace. And the pace scenario in the Preakness. You know, people say he dropped back, you know, he regressed a little bit in the Preakness. I mean, naturally, you're going to regress when you go head-and-head with a very good horse like Good Magic for a mile. You don't expect to run the same number that you ran in the Derby when you had a more sanitary trip. I don't think he regressed. I think that was a factor of the trip. But, again, it's hard to tell how much all of this cumulative racing and that hard race is ultimately going to be a factor here in the last eighth of a mile.
Could we also, for those that are so, you know, the people, it's very funny that the people that keep quoting the diminishing speed figures, I guess if we're going to go with that exercise, let's see. On a fast, dry track, he's got a 104 and 107 buyer. Is it possible that the wet track has actually worked against him? And that suggestion has come from a couple different quarters, in fact. And
he didn't look like he was handling the track all that great at Pimlico. And that's just a matter of impression and observation, and I don't know. I haven't talked to Bob or more specifically Mike about that. I'm sure other people have. But and we could possibly still get a wet track here. I guess there's some rain in the forecast, which would probably be a plus for Bravazo, who I think maybe has benefited from the wet tracks more than anybody and could be a little susceptible here as the potential third choice in all of this. So, I was discussing it with Maury Wolf, and we were talking about there's going to be three horses overbet in this race: Justify, Hofburg, and then Gronkowski for the obvious reason. And you know, I just don't see him being. You know, he could be an early factor in here, but he's certainly not going to be in my top four selections when I turn them in a few minutes.
Well, the DRF clocker report should factor into your play starting tomorrow, Mike.
Thursday report's already available.
Thursday's
if you buy it
out.
Now, Thursday's out and up on the website. Friday, I'm going to turn that in about an hour. It's just about finished, and it just has to be edited and thrown up there. That'll be up by the end of the day. And I'm going to go home this afternoon and start working on Saturday's huge report. Dave Grenning has been a huge help to me here. I got to give him a big plug, as has Toby Terrell in California and Donald Harris, who's been at Keeneland. Unfortunately, we haven't had anybody over at Churchill, so all we're seeing at Churchill is what they provided us during that little window, which were Derby Works and Monomoy Girl. Fortunately, we got to see that one too. But still, I think You don't want to go into these 3 days and all these races without the workout help that we are going to provide from all these venues.
$24.95, 3 day special, and obviously it'll take all of one bet to get it back. Mike, before we go, a B plus horse or two from over the 3 days that you know you're betting on.
You know, it's like a blur to me. I mean, I really. I can't say. Tomorrow, I mean, I don't have it in front of me.
Sure.
Tomorrow's card, the Neil Drysdale horse we have working real well. He's 20-1 in the morning line. He looks a little overmatched on paper. I always get La Sardin and the Brian Lynch horse mixed up. I think it's La Sardin, right? The Neil Drysdale.
La Sardin, yeah. With Flavian Pratt, the two in the seventh race, the Intercontinental.
Yeah, I mean, 7/8 of a mile, so that's a little problematic, but she's doing terrific working. Figure-wise, she needs to move up quite a bit, but she's training well, so I'm gonna take a look at her, at least to try to get her in a number there somewhere at a decent price.
2-1 for Lady Alexandra, the Motion Filly, and I can tell you that in my first pass, Nick Tamaro's joining us next to handicap the Thursday and Friday, at least the stakes. And when I passed through this, not only La Sardin, Malibu Stacy and Thundering Sky, George Weaver, both the George Weaver's fillies look okay in there.
Thundering Sky worked well, too. It was a kind of a late-minute audible with him. He worked on the turf the other day, on the dirt. She was pretty good. You know, she worked like at 10 o'clock on a completely chewed-up racetrack and showed pretty good speed and energy galloping out. So, Yeah, I haven't sat down and actually handicapped anything yet.
Terrific race.
Right now I'm just concentrating on getting all this workout stuff put in. So I won't do any serious handicapping till tomorrow. But from a workout point, that was the one on tomorrow's card that kind of stood out for me.
Mike Welch stands out for us all the time, and I'm glad you could stop by. And we will see you over at King of Bernos later.
Hopefully.
Mike Welch, everybody. DRF.com/clocker. Believe me, $25 well spent over the 3 days. You will get not just not just the positive. We talk about this all the time. It's also, don't worry about just about the letter grade. Never worried. He only got a B. Stop. Read the comment. Read how the horse went. That's the real clue that you get in the clocking reports is little hints, and especially the more you read them, the more familiar you are with the report writers, whether it's any of the the top clocking services. The more familiar you get, the more you'll key in on winners or horses that we go back to Derby weekend, and the Abel Tasman, how apparent it was that she was not coming into that race the way she left the scene at the end of last year. So a lot of benefit. $24.95 well spent. Let's take a break. It's been a furious morning. We've got about 45 minutes left. We got to get Nick Tamaro in here, and Nick and I will escort you through days one and two of this 3-day extravaganza. And I mean, it is eye crossing how many tremendous races we're going to be treated to. Let's step away, and I think we've taken two breaks the whole show. Back after this, hour three, a 40-minute hour three. Nick Tamaro next. Got Michael Canale may stop by from ExpressBet TV, which is going to launch their new Saturday preview show. Good day to launch it, Belmont Saturday. And this has been about a year in the development, and it's going to be, it should be very much a must-see TV kind of opportunity for players. You will get rolling right into, we talked about it with Zoe yesterday, you'll get rolling into the race day with a 1-hour preview from all the major ovals. Should be good. And Seth Merrow's got to get in here, although Seth's going to be here Friday. Maybe if we don't get to Seth today by phone, maybe I'll get the rare Seth Merrow sighting live here. That's a possibility. So lots to do, but let's get started with Nick Tamaro when we come back to beautiful Belmont Park, the 150th running of the Belmont Stakes Saturday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Can Justify complete his historic run to the Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes? Find out on Saturday, June 9th. And if you're looking for a way to bet the Belmont, look no further than ExpressBet.com. ExpressBet provides legal online and mobile wagering on more than 300 tracks, including Belmont Park. And this year, ExpressBet has its own Triple Crown of Belmont Stakes promotions you can't afford to pass up. First, new customers can sign up to receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. And once you have an account, you can cash in on a pair of our most popular promotions. Get your money back in the Belmont Stakes if your horse finishes second or third, and hit big at a 10% Exacta bonus throughout the entire Belmont Stakes card. Plus, ExpressBet's free Belmont Stakes wager guide is now available. Don't forget to check back on Friday, June 8th to get Eddie Olchick's Belmont picks exclusively online at ExpressBet. Ready to start betting? Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and sign up for an account today. And don't forget to bet the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 9th.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi. This is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a 2-year-old Calbred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's my heat seeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/RaceLens.
What are most horse breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing? This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I saw the note on Twitter. Twitter, I won't call Twitter undefeated, but it certainly it's got a winning record for the most part. 40 years ago today, unbelievable, the Cars debut album. And it's funny that my freshman year at college coming up twice today. With that album out, I mean, it was one of the greatest debut albums of all time. But it was just all over the place. Freshman year, the Cars, and then what followed it up with Candio. But that's the Good Times Roll, the first track from their debut album, The Cars, Rick Ocasek, and it probably that, and I'd say the Go-Go's maybe. Those two albums particularly I can remember as a freshman being kind of ubiquitous. We're trying to get to Nick Tamaro, and we'll dive into this first couple of days, the first chance we've had to catch our breath in 2 hours and 25 minutes between Sid's terrific pedigree conversation, and before that, Paul Matisse giving us a great hour. The card tomorrow, you know, a little bit more of a kind of, if it was a normal Saturday, it would not be unusual to have the kind of card we'd look at. 9 races tomorrow, starting with State Bred Maiden Special in a 6-furlong sprint on the grass, and then First Level Allowance going 6.5 on the main. three and ups, then fillies and mares, maidens going the same distance on the dirt. 40 claimers going 7 furlongs, three and ups, nice group there. And then the early pick five, the first pick five that starts the day, it ends with a first level allowance going a mile and 3/8 on the turf. There's a couple of those actually over the next couple of days. There's a mile and 3/8 maiden race that closes out on the turf, that closes out the Friday card. Then you get the late pick four. And for those that play the Naira, that get to play the Naira bets, you know, the Naira bets pick five for Naira bets players starts with that fifth race. So there is the overlap on a nine race card. Then the late pick four, the Astoria, and that includes Wesley Ward with a pair, and the fillies going 5.5, the 2-year-olds. And they got 8, and that Tajori, whose name has come up here as soon as people started to lay eyes on the Simon Callahan filly, making a nice impression. Then the Intercontinental, which just came up with Mike Welch, and the Wonder Again, basically fillies and mares going short, and then the Wonder Again, 3-year-olds going 1.5 miles on the Intergrass. That's a terrific field. Weaver again, and George Weaver. Weaver may strike early like Thunderball at this festival, and then get out of town. I think most of George's. I think these are George's three stakes players for the weekend. Actually, both running, three of them running tomorrow. But the Wonder Again, the Grade Three, 8-5 though on significant form, and Stephanie Seymour Brandt with. Chad Brown, of course, and with her husband, Peter Brandt, but significant form, 8-5 appropriately in that Wonder Again, and much the horse to beat. Daddy is a Legend, your second choice at 7-2, and then it closes out with a mile on the turf. So we'll get Nick in here as soon as we get, you can't get any out calls. Okay, then let's... let me do this and let Nick know that maybe he can call you, Case, if that's the case, and we'll suggest that to him. I also reached out to Doug O'Neill and got an answer from Doug about that workout, and we'll get to that in a minute as well, as I do three things here at once. And I don't know if Nick is listening, so I'll just do that. All right, so I let him know, Case. Doug O'Neill, getting back, he says it was not, he said that this was no big deal, and that it was not a miscommunication, and that Mike Luzzi, you know, did a good job handling Blended Citizen. I wouldn't characterize that as a non-answer, but you get the sense that Doug not concerned about what transpired. So. I'll let all of you interpret that answer. We look to Friday, and the Better Roses goes as the third, and smart maneuver here in terms of placement. The Better Roses being in here early is because of the cross entries with the FIPS. The problem here is that, you know, you've got horses overlapping, and so they basically didn't know how to, more or less, how to play. You couldn't place this race deeper on the card, and that is understandable. I mean, when you have that many horses that are cross-entered, so as a result, for the, you know, both the the Phipps, placed as the third race as well on Saturday. And Ivy Bell, Highway Star, and American Gal. And, of course, American Gal, you know, very much the important consideration as to where she goes. I mean, she's a bit of a gorilla, I would think, in here. And you know, Abel Tasman will be at least your morning line favorite. Pacific Wind's placement too, you know, with her, her presence midfield in that Phipps group. So we'll see, and we'll get that information as quickly as possible. Maybe some decisions made tomorrow by the connections that are involved here with and Pletcher is a little bit at a circumstance because he's already got Unbridled Mo in the Phipps. So I've become a big fan of Ivy Bell. I really have been impressed with her. So we'll see. She has not gone beyond 7 furlongs, so it does feel a little bit like, you know, that she'll stay. But she did draw the rail. Not awful for her style of running in here. So we'll see. After the Better Roses on Friday, you do have some straightforward, but again, as I said at the top of the show, deep, compelling fields that are offering kind of eye-crossing options. $100,000 optional claiming allowance type that starts the card Friday. Then we've got a 6-furlong turf dash for fillies. Then the Better Roses is mentioned. Second level allowance goes as the fourth on the grass. 6 furlongs, some familiar horses in there. And then the Tremont ends Friday's early pick five. And, you know, one of the major players in there is actually the filly for Wesley Ward, the No Nay Never filly, that May No Never became No Nay Never's first winner. And this one bred by Wesley, the Ice Wine name, nom de course. And nice, it seems like a nice group here that obviously is made up of mostly first out winners. The one horse that was not a first out winner, Mike Rapoli's Social Fan. This is an overanalyze that was a West Virginia bred and was a Keeneland yearling for $50,000. So Mike supporting overanalyze and took a second start for Social Fan to break her maiden, his maiden. So we got the filly, May No Never, bred in Ireland and brought over for Wesley facing the boys in the Tremont. Then a maiden special, 7/8, second level or first level allowance going a mile on the turf, on the widener for the boys. And then we get to the True North. And really looking forward to this. The True North, with the presence of Joking, away since October, unbelievable, of 2016. And Charlie Baker, to get him back, just amazing. And hope he comes back running. Imperial Hint, of course, the horse to chase. We did get word, of course, yesterday during entry time when Limousine Liberal, Ben Colebrook, letting Dave Grenig know that Limousine Liberal will contest the Met Mile. An interesting development that came together yesterday. Then the New York, the Grade 2 for the mile and a quarter for the fillies and mares, drew a fabulous field. The Gold Cup, the crazy 2 mile. Now it's become a standard, the Gold Cup Invitational. 2 miles on the widener turf course. Amazing. And kind of cool. Everybody's excited about the Queen having a horse in here. And then the card ends Friday with that mile and 3/8 turf race, as I mentioned, maiden special, open company. So a wonderful lead up to Saturday, and I apologize about getting this thing started. Let's do this. Bottom of the hour case. Let's take a break here and see if we can't figure out what to do about getting Nick in here. Back after this, we're live at Belmont.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Can Justify complete his historic run to the Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes? Find out on Saturday, June 9th. And if you're looking for a way to bet the Belmont, look no further than ExpressBet.com. ExpressBet provides legal online and mobile wagering on more than 300 tracks, including Belmont Park. And this year, ExpressBet has its own Triple Crown of Belmont Stakes promotions you can't afford to pass up. First, new customers can sign up to receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. And once you have an account, you can cash in on a pair of our most popular promotions. Get your money back in the Belmont Stakes if your horse finishes second or third. And hit big at a 10% exacta bonus throughout the entire Belmont Stakes card. Plus, ExpressBet's free Belmont Stakes wager guide is now available. Don't forget to check back on Friday, June 8th to get Eddie Olchick's Belmont picks exclusively online at ExpressBet. Ready to start betting? Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and sign up for an account today. And don't forget to bet the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 9th.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
I'm the cat with the bass and drum going around like bum, bum, bum.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I'm the cat with the bass and drum going around like bum, bum, bum. What's grooving? I'm moving. I like your style of lumping. How charming, just a rapper. Load him up and eat the snapper. I was 16 pints of rum and then I...
We're back at the races. Casey working on what seems to be a system-wide phone thing down in South Florida. And timing is actually okay because Michael Canale was going to come by, and here he is. And, you know, it's great because you're one of the people that can't complain about the headset and worrying about having it muss your hair.
No, not me.
I'm sorry. That's just an irresistible joke. The Michael has that. But see, you know, it's funny.
It's a very clean look.
Well, it works. You know, there's people that carry it off just easily. You've got that. It becomes kind of a signature thing.
Yeah.
It's kind of Yul Brynner-ish. It's got that, right?
Do you remember Bud Greenspan?
Sure.
He produced those Olympic
documentaries.
A lot of people will say that I look a lot like Bud.
There you go. All right. That makes sense. Yul Brynner, too, though.
Yes.
You could break into the King and I any minute here.
For sure.
Michael, I've been foreshadowing, and we've been waiting for the announcement, and it came in recent weeks, and then Zoe actually yesterday gave me the high sign that the Saturday morning weekend preview show is coming to fruition, and it's been something that XBTV has been angling toward for about a year.
Yeah, it's been a while in the works. It was something we really didn't want to go forward to until we were all comfortable with the format and what we wanted to do. She might have given out a little misinformation on the timing of the first show. The first show this Saturday, Belmont Saturday, will be 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern, which will back us up into first post at Belmont being 11:35.
Perfect.
Moving forward, the other shows on Saturday will be 11 to 12 Eastern, again, backing us up into our earlier East post times, whether they be 12:30, 1, 1:10, something like that. But we're all very excited. It's a transition time at XBTV. We had been doing the live racing show on Saturdays. And like you mentioned, this is something that we had talked about wanting to do, sort of a college game day of sorts format, where we would bring in some of the most respected handicappers, clockers in the business, bring them all together using the most updated technology via Skype on people's computers, phones, iPads, also being able to utilize our live view technology that we'll have in place at Saratoga, Santa Anita, and utilizing all that technology so it can bring the contributor visually to the screen and have them give us input on races both nationally, regionally, utilize the workouts that XBTV shoots, bullet drills. There'll be a number of elements that are XBTV VOD elements that people will see on the website, and those elements will be incorporated into the show to make the viewer and the fan more up to date on it. Aaron and Jeff do Daymakers, which are their picks. Zoe, Millie, and Richie do the bullet drills where they do analysis of the workouts for folks. So all those elements will be integrated. I'm sure there'll be new elements that will also incorporate it. But I'm excited, you know, to have contributors like yourself and really make this, like, this is a place you need to watch. And the good thing about it is it's all also going to be available on VOD, video on demand. So if somebody doesn't see it live when it happens in that window on Saturday morning, the show will replay in its entirety on video on demand on xbtv.com.
Immediately, I mean, basically by noon,
it'll go again. It'll be on a player. And then also what we'll do is I will build the show geographically so that the show can be segmented out. So then on the website, if you wanted to find out about Belmont 8, and we talked about Belmont 8 in the body of the show, that segment could then live on the website, and somebody can go check it out and use it as a wagering tool. So even if you missed the live version of the show will be available on video on demand as well as a loop of the entire show.
Well, and for people that, for instance, are you know, are going to play West Coast, for instance, we're almost at time for Los Al and then Del Mar, and so you know they know that they can get to it at whatever the third segment on past the bottom of the hour and catch up on the West Coast. And if you're an East Coast player and you know you particularly late pick fours, you'll know that that Laurel and Belmont and Monmouth are going to be covered in the first, etc. And you know the beauty of this is that as we get into the post Triple Crown calendar, we're going to have big weekends at Prairie Meadows, and we're going to have big weekends at Canterbury and Arlington, and you know virtually all around the country. Gulfstream now doesn't stop. So you know there's occasions, and there's going to be not just the obvious A-track summer venues, but you can feather in whatever you know whatever interesting. You look at what happened at Penn National this weekend. That would be a terrific you know all stakes pick board to feature during the coverage. And you know Michael Canale name is synonymous with this kind of production. And you know we've talked now for virtually 13 years since the inception of our show, and whether it was HRTV and your extensive background, you know, calling upon all the experience that this kind of where the action is integration. I mean, that's your wheelhouse.
Yeah, and it's really a show for the betters, for the handicappers. Having somebody like Jeff Siegel in studio and Aaron, two great people to maybe opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of Jeff and Aaron's approach to how they handicap racing, but they give you winners. And that's what our job is, to give people information. And then, like I said, utilizing the database of all the videos, XPTV has been a differentiator in terms of bringing people workouts coast to coast. We have a studio and a facility at Gulfstream. We obviously are based at Santa Anita. We have crews at Belmont. We'll have crews at Saratoga. So being able to cover the sport nationally instead of just saying, oh, we're based at Santa Anita and that's all we cover, that's not what we'll be doing. Also, like you said, we can look at other tracks and play up carryovers, pick four place, pick five place.
That's true.
Before, we had some restrictions of what we could show and what we couldn't. In this preview show, we can do the best racing, do what we want to talk about. And like I say, all to be a service to the handicapper and the better, and get people regionally that have opinions and knowledge that can give us that information at those tracks, which is important. So it's not just, only like Saratoga, Belmont, Del Mar, Santa Anita. Like, it goes beyond that.
As you mentioned, and I have that advantage too when it comes to, turning on a dime and carryovers in particular. And, it's one thing when they're Saturday and Sunday, but when there's a Wednesday card, and this is really especially true during Saratoga and Del Mar, that, we can very quickly, reach out to whatever resource we need to have a discussion and to handicap the sequence and to make sure that people are, are armed basically to approach those kinds of opportunities. And whether it's not just limited to that, but also, keeping an eye on PPs. And, this week we had the return of Taprit, for instance, the other day. And you're going to have, we're getting to that time of year where the fancy two-year-olds start to debut, and some big siblings and some notable, whether it's two-year-old in training sale or expensive yearling purchases, start to debut and getting into that and the work that goes on that front. In terms of the development, and I've had conversations with you about it on a steady basis as this concept, and Johnny D and I discussed a sideshow and a hucksterism. The one element that is absent, that I don't know if the format offers it or not for you, but the storytelling, when it comes to all the real warm reception for what NBC has put on with Dark Horses, and HRTV won gaggles of Emmys with inside information and the the almost the 30x30 type documentaries. Is there room on XPTV for some of that kind of work? Is anything in the development stages?
Yes, the answer is yes. I think in the format of this show, the first features you see will be handicapping betting-esque features that may touch on historical sides of it, trends and things like that.
Sure.
But I do think there is room. I was involved with the Inside Information series. Was thankful to be worked with a lot of great people. I think that a number of those people do work for XBTV. We all have a passion for telling stories. And part of even when I would do a live race, there's a story in every race that you're telling. And in being able to have a little bit deeper dive into it, of getting into the personalities and the people that are behind these horses, that's something that I think there's definitely room for. And the show is going to evolve. What the show is going to start to be like for the first show on Belmont Saturday, will look different for Saratoga. It'll only get better, more input. I also welcome that the fans give us feedback, tell us what they like, tell us what segments work. All that stuff is good for us to know how we can make the show better for the fans and for the handicappers.
Well, it has been the most significant change in I don't want to limit it to Triple Crown and big race discussion leading into Breeders' Cup and Triple Crown season, because anybody, particularly if you play Santa Anita, anybody that has been paying attention at XBTV.com, you've got 40 claimers that are within the realm of the workout reports. I mean, it is not confined to the stakes horses. It's what is going by on the racetrack that the cameras. How many cameras are recording every morning?
Santa Anita, we have one. We use the one camera. If it's a big event, like, say, Breeders' Cup or Santa Anita Derby, and we have a lot of horses, we may bring in a second camera.
Interesting.
Gulfstream, if it's a big event, like, say, Pegasus or Florida Derby. Gulfstream, Florida, South Florida is a whole nother story because you have several training tracks to get after.
Yeah.
You have Palm Meadows, Palm Beach Downs.
Well, you got Christina. You got Christina Basanakis, who's like she's like Sabrina,
right,
the teenage witch. If she just shows up, wiggles her nose, and she's at Palm Beach Downs.
Right. So Gulfstream Park West, Gulfstream Park. So, you know, it's a matter of honing in, and people like Karen Johnson that are on the ground field producing for us, that are getting the information from the trainers in terms of what their workout schedules are, who's working. There we can be up, like in South Florida during the Winter Champions meet, we can be up to three cameras shooting those. But at a specific venue like Santa Anita, Belmont, or Saratoga, we pretty much rely on around one. Saratoga can be challenging because you have Oklahoma.
Sure.
And you have the main track. You have turf workers. And that's where, you know, you have really good people on the ground that understand logistically how best. And you can't get them all, but you do the best you can to try to get them. And going back to what you said about that we're well beyond stakes horses, that is so true, because sometimes some of the best workouts for a handicapper is that first-time starter, that maiden. And in the racing form or Equibase, you're looking at a number, it may have a bullet by it or whatever it is, but visually we can bring that to the viewer and to the fan of really what that workout looked like, especially for a baby. Sometimes, too, it's also interesting to watch when you have two horses working together and you can kind of gauge them and you say, hey, that horse just won. He outworked this horse.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's all for the handicapper.
It's a huge, huge resource, and it has been. You know, it's funny. There's certain things that historically, whether it's the advent of speed figures and then, you know, kind of premium speed figures, Steve Davidowitz famously, you know, said that the VCR was the greatest tool that at the era in the 80s that a handicapper had ever had, and then digital resources, it keeps evolving. This has been a new era when it comes to being able to watch horses prepare for whether it's first starts or whether it's grade one opportunities. And it also is educating players. The more of them that they watch and the more they get to hear people that get on horses and were afternoon and morning riders, whether it's Camille Yachtine or Millie Ball, either one. Or Mig and Zoe, etc., people who really understand and are explaining to you what a horse is communicating. You're educating the player, and most people have felt that the one thing that they don't understand is body language of horses. And you can read Bonnie Ledbetter, and that would help you, but this is an absolute seismic shift in the toolbox for players, and it's been really a wonderful resource. Watch XBTV on Twitter to follow, and XBTV.com. Michael Canale, whatever help I can offer, do not hesitate to ask. I appreciate you coming over.
Thank you very much, Steve.
It's always
an
absolute pleasure. Michael Canale, everybody, award winner everywhere he's ever gone. Happy to have him, and they kick off on Saturday. We're going to kick off the midweek race day. Delaware Park, Delta Downs, Evangeline, Gulfstream, Indiana, Louisiana Downs, Mountaineer later, Presque Isle at 5:30, Thistledown, Assiniboia, and Woodbine, your racetracks of choice. Dive in, and best of luck. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 9 o'clock live. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9 here on SiriusXM. Sorry we couldn't get to Nick. We'll get to Tamaro tomorrow. Casey haranguing the morons at Comcast as we speak. Michael Canale, Mike Welsh, Sid Fernando, and Paul Matisse. Want to thank everybody. And thank you. Good luck today, folks. Talk to you tomorrow as we get closer. And first day of Belmont Racing Festival should be fun. Good luck. Talk to you tomorrow.
You had to go killing all the bees.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.